Hey friends, welcome back to Parenting Uncovered. We've got a special treat for you today. The man, the myth, our role model, the guy I want to be like when I grow up, Pastor right. Jimmy Evans in the studio with us.
Great to be here. Thank you.
And thank you. This is this is the house you built. That's right. We're honored to be here and talk about your brand new book.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Which is Fighting for the Soul of Your Child. I love the title. And mm-hmm. And I can say from knowing his children and grandchildren that this is a guy you want to listen to.
Yes.
On not only on marriage, world-renowned marriage, but parenting, mm-hmm. proof's in the pudding. And it's a multi-generational family that is strong, loves Jesus, and that's the goal. So we want that. So
I'm very thankful for the way our kids turned out. And Karen and I came out, and first of all, we're so proud of you guys.
It's Aww. Great. Oh, thank
you. You're just knocking it out of the park. But we came out of the most dysfunctional families. We were both raised in non-Christian homes. And our parents would have told you they were Christians. They weren't Christians. And you, generations of dysfunction. And when we got saved, I got saved a week before we got married, we made our decision that we were going to raise our kids according to the Word of God. And not legalistic, right. But just according to the Word of God. And we had some friends of ours who raised their children according to Dr. Spock. Very, very strong Christians.
Wow.
Went to church with us.
Yeah.
And they, and Dr. Spock's book was the opposite of the Bible
totally.
in many ways. Mm-hmm. And of course, Dr. Spock came out years later. His children came out and said he's the worst father in the world and just completely trashed him.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the children of these friends that we had, they had a lot of problems with them as they grew up. And they have one that's just completely away from the Lord, whatever. And they're wonderful people. They're just wonderful Christian people. But what we decided to do was to raise our kids according to the Word. Well, you know, kids are kids. And, you know, Brent and Julie, but Brent was sneaky and Julie was just strong-willed. You know, Julie would just tell you no. And, but we, you know, fought for the soul of our children. We did what the Word of God said, believing one day, you know, Proverbs says that you train your child in the way they should go, and when they mature, they'll come back to it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say they won't drive you crazy.
Oh, right.
right.
It doesn't say they won't test every boundary. And so we did, to the best of our ability, as first-generation parents.
Mm-hmm.
We were the first generation to raise our kids according to the Lord. I mean, our family gave us fits about it, doing the things the way we did it. Well, so Julie left for college when she was 18, and she was a good moral girl, Christian girl, but boy, she was, you talk about strong will. And of course, she's one of the co-authors of the book.
Yes, which is so cool, I love it.
And she left for college, and every time she came back, we got smarter, you know? And she, in other words, she came back, and the first Thanksgiving that she was in college and she came back, we went around the table at Thanksgiving saying what we were thankful for, and she said, I'm thankful that y'all are married. Because none of my friends at college are married.
Wow.
Their parents are married.
Wow.
And so she kept going to college and seeing the results of the way we had parented her mm-hmm. versus her friends. And Jillian, we're best friends with our kids today. Mm-hmm. And it's a blessing. And then Brent did the same thing. Brent went to college and he kind of blew up at college, you know. And we had a dark time in our relationship because I was threatening him on a regular basis. I said, I'm gonna dismantle your life if you're gonna live like this.
Yeah.
And Brent came back to the Lord. Stephanie was a big part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And our kids today, they are raising their children exactly the way we raised them.
Mm-hmm.
And the grandkids, you know, our grandkids, they're all saved. They're wonderful. They're kids. They're just kids, but they're great kids. They're the second generation.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to raise their children third generation. And so we fought for the soul of our children and the gratefulness that we have for the promises of God, the faithfulness of God, is that he promises us, you train them the way they should go. When they get old, they come back. They did.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't mean they were perfect. Wasn't a perfect process, but God's word is true. And this generation, you guys are raising your boys in a generation that's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
The challenges of this generation are just unbelievable. Whatever there was, see, we raised our kids pre-internet.
Mm-hmm.
There was no internet back then, or cell phones or those kinds of things.
Right.
So anyway, we wrote this book for the purpose, and with our daughter and the writer that we worked with, Jenny Morgan, who is a part of XO here, she's 24 years old. And when we started writing it, she said, there's not a parenting book for my generation. All the parenting books are the, 20, 30 years old, the major ones. And I said, well, Jenny, we're going to write this for your generation. Mm-hmm. And so this is for this generation of parents that are fighting for the soul of their children in the midst of a society that has just, gone crazy.
Yeah.
So anyway.
It's so awesome. I mean, I haven't been able to read it cover to cover yet, but I love, some of the things that you address in here. The first section is called Roles of Engagement. And you start out by talking about a greater purpose and how, you kind of already touched on this and how, what is at stake? I think that a lot of parents feel just a bit kind of, they're frozen because they, and maybe not sure how to really take this whole parenting thing because they do feel so overwhelmed by the world at hand, like by what their kids are being exposed to.
Yeah, and the technology. You do an amazing talk. Eye-opening talk.
One of the best talks I've ever heard on that.
On technology at our EXO conferences.
And yes.
As parents, like the challenges are so unique right now.
Right. And so I feel like sometimes, it can be, we take these extremes. Like you were kind of talking about that with your friends. Like there's like these extremes. And so what would you say to a parent that is kind of in that spot where they're like, I do want to fight for the soul of my child, but I honestly don't even know where to start.
Yeah. And that's where we start. Mm-hmm. We start at the beginning. The purpose of parenting is to be God's partner, to raise your child to fulfill his destiny for their life. And so Psalm 139 tells us that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, that God knit us together in our mother's womb. And it says there, you had so many thoughts about me that they can't be numbered. They're like the sand of the seashore. In other words, God detailed our lives before we were ever born.
Yeah.
God had a detailed plan for our lives. Well, the purpose of a parent is first of all to raise your child into an understanding and love for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then to be God's partner. See, when the Bible says you train your child the way they should go and they get old, they won't depart from it. Well, that means two things. It means the Bible way, training, but it also means the way they should go. Is you may have one plumber, one electrician, one worship leader, one astronaut.
Mm-hmm.
Your children may have different destinies.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a cookie cutter thing. Well, my dad was a lawyer, I'm a lawyer, my kids are. Mm-hmm. Well, that's fine if that happens, if that's according to God's plan. But what I want to do as a parent is to raise my child to glorify God and to fulfill his purpose for their lives. So the mantra of many Christian parents, that just absolutely drives me crazy. The mantra of many Christian parents is get an education, get a career, blah, 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 get, money, 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 success, success, success.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, fine. Well, what if you send your children to public university to get education and they come out being a Marxist?
Right.
Yeah.
But they're very successful at being a Marxist and they make a lot of money at it. Did you succeed? They got an education. They got a career. No, you failed.
Right. Yeah.
And so, what if you raise your child to make money and they're 28 years old living in your basement and not dating and, you're never going to have grandchildren. And this is the situation of many parents today.
Yeah.
So Julie, our daughter, when she was in high school, I talked to her one day and I said, honey, what do you want to do when you graduate from high school? She said, I want to go to college for 2 years and then get married and have kids. I said, fantastic. A lot of children get the MRS degree, that's
right,
the girl. And so she went to college 2 years, got married and had children.
Mm-hmm.
And that's success.
Yeah.
I don't care if she got a degree or not. I wanted her to get a degree if that was what she was supposed to do.
Sure.
So the purpose of parenting is to raise your child according to the purpose of God. And see, that's what your child wants. This is all of the giftings and inclinations within them. That's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And you ask a child, what are your inclinations or whatever? Well, if you're driving them to get an education, get a career, be a doctor, be a lawyer, whatever like that, well, what if they're supposed to be a worship leader?
Mm-hmm.
What if they're supposed to be a pastor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if they're supposed to be something? What if they're supposed to be something that they need a technical education, not, an undergraduate, liberal arts degree?
Sure.
And so we have to be open to the fact that God in the mother's womb, he programmed that child to do something for him and his kingdom. I'm not raising my child to make money. I'm not raising my child to be popular. A lot of people, they put their child on the altar of their own ego and their own popularity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What if my kids aren't popular? That's fine. They don't have to be. I don't want to be hated. I don't want to be rejected. But they're going to get there at some point in time in life. They're going to get rejected.
Sure. Yeah.
So you have to come alongside your child, and to tell them the purpose of this family is to glorify God. The purpose of our marriage is to glorify God. The purpose of your life is to glorify God. Mm-hmm. Popularity is nice when you get it, but you're not going to get it all the time. Money's nice. We all need it. But the job that you have someday, what if you're a teacher? Mm-hmm. And you have a phenomenal call in your life to be a teacher, but what if you don't make as much as a doctor? You're still a success if you're doing what God called you to do.
Right.
So that's, to me, that is the beginning of the conversation. And Christians today aren't one bit different in raising their children. They're raising their children. They may pray at the dinner table, but their basic purpose of life is exactly the same as an unbeliever.
Mm-hmm. That's convicting.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah. It is. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us, we need to take a long, hard look at, like, what is the like, I love how you said the purpose of this family is to glorify God, to being so, like, succinct in that and just so
intentional,
right? Yeah. And then if you filter everything through that lens, yeah, you know, based on the activities we're involved in, how we spend our time, it really is, it's everything.
It's how we're spending our time and our money, right, reflective of that value.
It answers, right, when you get the headline right, everything else takes its place.
Right.
Yes.
You know, our kids would come home, I'm sure y'all do too, and they would say, well, everybody else gets to do it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? And I said, we don't care if everybody else paints themselves pink. We're staying right where we are.
Right. Yeah.
We just don't care. We don't care if we fit in. We don't care. We didn't want our kids to be nerds. We didn't want our kids to be ostracized. But we just didn't worship at that mountain of being liked by everybody and fitting in with the crowd.
Yeah.
And then we look back on it. I'm so thankful that we didn't. I had a guy that I was dealing with, and his son was a phenomenal athlete, mm-hmm, phenomenal athlete. He would have become a professional athlete, but this father was pushing to get his son without any character, without any Christian mm-hmm character, because he didn't care about his son's character. All he cared about was winning. Mm. And I had a conversation with this guy one day, and I said, God forbid that your son would ever become injured and wouldn't be able to pursue sports, you know, into, because his son was a very, very talented college athlete. Wow. And I said, God forbid that your son, you know, would get injured someday and wouldn't be able to pursue a professional career. What's he gonna be like? What's his character gonna be like? And this guy gave me a look like, you idiot.
Really?
What else matters? I mean, of course he's gonna be a professional athlete. He was in a car accident. He was never able to compete again. And to this day, he's just, you know, I loved him. I knew him as a kid, unbelievable athlete. He was in a car accident, could never compete again. And I don't know that anything has ever become of his life after that. I hope something good happened to him, but this father only cared about that boy winning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, that's so short-sighted.
It is, yeah.
Very.
If the bullseye is wrong, you miss that and you feel like, well, I've missed my calling, my life's meaningless. And
yeah,
we should never build our identity on something that can lose, something that can be taken away.
That's exactly right.
Well, and helping our kids have their identity in Christ, you know, and that's when your family is glorifying Christ, that's where we get our identity. And,
that's right.
And you're right, if we're putting all, and this is, I think we get a lot of questions where parents are like, but what if my kid has that, you know, unbelievable ability? Like, mm-hmm, they're the one in a million. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, well, that's awesome, but they still need to have a relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, God's the one who gave them the ability.
Yeah, that's the
main
thing.
What an amazing
that's
opportunity to glorify God.
And that's going to last forever. Your athletic career, best case scenario, is going to last still a short amount of time.
Exactly.
That's exactly. Well, I have professional athletes who are friends of mine. Mm-hmm. And the career ends, and the person, you end up with the person that you are.
Yeah.
Chad Hennings is a good friend of mine. I think he won 5 Super Bowls. And one of the best men you've ever known in your life. Just a prince of a man, great mm-hmm marriage, great family. And you see people like that. But then you also see people who are professional athletes and their life is just in shambles.
Miserable.
Well, you know, I look at Tom Brady. I love Tom Brady, mm-hmm, and I pray for Tom Brady, but you can't find a more beautiful couple than Tom and Giselle.
Gorgeous.
They should explode when they kiss.
That's right.
But he decides to take an extra year in his career, and Giselle leaves him. Mm-hmm. Obviously, she was already frustrated before that happened.
Sure.
And I look at him and I just think, you know, I feel so sorry for them.
Yeah.
They're great people. I mean, I think Tom Brady is a great person, mm-hmm, individually, but their values are wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, money. How many? They already had money.
Yeah.
You already have fame. What are you looking for?
Right. Yeah.
You know, they're looking for the wrong things. And that's my point. Mm-hmm. And you'll never be, when you're doing God's will for your life, you can be a true success.
Yes.
But if you're not doing God's will for your life, you can only be a false success. Mm-hmm. You're not experiencing true success. Yeah. You're just doing what the world does. But I want to be I want to go to heaven one day and hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. Mm-hmm. You fulfilled my will for your life. And I also want my children to hear that and my grandchildren.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's so good. What what advice would you give to that parent that's out there listening and they want to do those things? They want to change the generational cycle, but like you and Karen, when you started, they don't have the example ahead of them. You know, they mm-hmm. don't feel equipped because they didn't see it in their parents or their grandparents. And now that in themselves, they feel like, I don't know where to start. I want what you're talking about, but I keep reverting back to what I know, which is this broken system. So where does someone start?
Well, and this is something that, that's a great question. And I'm really glad you asked it because, see, my father never touched me growing up. He never talked to me. I think I made this statement one day, and I really do believe this is a true statement. I don't believe my father said 1,000 words to me my entire time growing up.
Wow.
I don't believe he did. Maybe not even 500. He just didn't talk. He didn't touch me. He never. I was an athlete. I played, you know, every sport. He didn't come to any of my games. Never came to a game. Wow. So when I became a father, you know, I was just, what does that mean? You know. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know, I would say that my heart was really not turned toward my children for the first several years. I loved them and I was at home every night, but I just didn't have that. Mm-hmm. Going to church, we went to church and we met some other young couples like us. Watching other people parent their children is how we learned how to parent.
Wow.
A lot of it. Mm-hmm. You know, men learn from watching other men.
Yeah.
Women learn by talking.
Right.
And so, but Karen would get with other mothers. And see, I mean, I'm not going to tell the story. Now, my mother just passed away, so I can tell a story, you know, that. Mm-hmm. My parents are both passed away. But the things that we grew up with were just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And we just had a void. And I know some people watching this right now, you don't have one positive thing to draw from mm-hmm. related to your mom and dad or your family. I didn't. I honestly didn't. Mm-hmm. And so I watched other men with their children. And I would watch them, and it embarrassed me, honestly, because I just thought, you know, I'm a horrible father. And our kids were little. But thankfully, I was affectionate with our kids. I prayed with them every night, put them to bed and prayed with them every night. And I learned to become a good father. And I would say probably from the time when the kids were like 2 or 3, I wasn't a very good father. Of course, Karen was a great mother. But it's like the older they got, the better I got at being a father and the more my heart turned toward home. But I'm thankful. And we were not perfect parents by any means. You know, our kids will tell stories on us, you know. But we were committed Christian parents trying to do the right thing. If you're willing to take responsibility for your faults and change, anything's possible. And Karen, we repented to our kids many times. And we said, we're sorry for anything we've done wrong. We're trying to improve. Brent, who's the CEO of XL today, we said to him one day, Brent, we're sorry for anything we did wrong, his parents. And he said, do you think I'm a bad kid or something? you keep apologizing.
He turned out great.
Oh, my goodness.
They kind of turned around.
Yeah. You're like, wait a minute.
Oh, it's so good. You guys, I cannot recommend enough that you get this new book.
Yes.
And frankly, just Google Jimmy Evans and listen to anything that yes. he and Karen have
Thank
to share
you.
Because it is gold. He is anointed and gifted in such a unique way and has impacted our family so much. And
yes.
before we close today, we've never closed out this podcast with prayer, but in just a minute, I'm going to ask you, Pastor
yeah.
Jimmy, to just pray a prayer blessing for those parents listening, that the generational maybe curse that they feel under would be broken
yes.
and that their kids, their grandkids would be blessed as they continue to build a life on the Word of God. And before we get there though, we close yep. every episode with a fascinating fact from Ashley and a dad joke from Dave. And then you're going to get a powerful prayer from Pastor Jimmy too. So this is the best finale we've ever had.
I know.
So sweetie, what's our fascinating fact today about parenting?
All right. I'm back on the website because there were too many fascinating facts that I couldn't even pick one. On factretriever.com. It talks about like interesting things. All right. So let's see here. There's many through here. And some of these are kind of sad too. Hold on just a second. Hold on. It just lost it for me. Okay. You go ahead, sweetie, because it just lost it on my screen.
Okay.
But you go ahead with your dad joke.
It's always
joke.
Hard to just pick one
I'm so
dad
sorry
joke
about that.
Because I love them all. It's like your children. You know, which one do you love the most? It's hard to pick. But Since Pastor Jimmy is an athlete and likes sports, we'll have a sports related dad joke. Do you know what football team takes the best care of their cell phones? The Chargers.
Hey.
That's a dad joke.
They're all that dumb.
I love it. I'm not going to steal it though, Dave.
Yeah, I know,
it's not good enough to steal.
It's not worth repeating.
It's not worth repeating.
A lot of these, it's kind of like one time's enough, you know? All right. So again, this is from Factinator. Factretriever.com. And there's so many on here. And I love this one. I thought this was kind of interesting, and I did not know this. It said, while American parents are typically okay with baby walkers, which we used, you know, those little contraptions that kind of help babies learn how to walk. And it literally looks like a mini walker that, you know, an elderly person would use for babies on rollers. It said Canada banned them in 2004. And walkers cause more injuries than any other baby product and may actually delay motor and mental development.
Whoa.
And so now, listen to this, Canadians can be fined or jailed for even owning one.
Oh, wow.
Can you believe that? Like, and I look at all of our kids. In fact, at one of your brother's weddings, probably Ben's, one of our boys, we took a baby walker and wrapped it in like this ribbon and stuff
and
to make it look pretty.
Because
he was the ring bearer. And he took it down the aisle because he could barely walk with the walker. So, yeah.
Canada would have robbed us of that moment.
We would have been in big trouble. I know.
We used them.
I know. Yeah. They're like, I think in America you can still get them readily. I don't know. Parents, write us. Let us know. Do you use a baby walker?
Hey, our Canadian listeners, write us and let us know.
Have you been fined for this?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're 2004 wasn't that long ago. So, yeah.
Guys, before we close out again, please check out the new book from Pastor Jimmy. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And as always, you can write us on Instagram at Dave and Ashley Willis with your suggestions, your questions, your prayer requests, your fascinating facts, or your dad jokes. Before we close today, Pastor Jimmy, would you just pray a prayer of blessing over these parents?
Father, we just pray for every parent watching right now in Jesus' name. And we do pray for the breaking of every generational curse, every generational influence that's negative. We forgive our parents. We forgive our grandparents. We forgive everyone that might have been involved in something that mistrained us or even harmed us.
Yes.
And we just bless them. We forgive them. And Lord, I pray right now that you would, Jesus, you said when the Holy Spirit came, he would lead us into all truth.
Yes, Lord.
And I pray for Holy Spirit, we pray for you to teach us how to be parents. Give us the grace to change. Give us the grace to admit our mistakes and to learn supernaturally. Holy Spirit, teach us how to be mothers and fathers.
Teach us.
Teach us how to love our children properly, how to train them properly, how to discipline them properly, and how to fight for their soul, Lord. How to, in this generation, how to fight every evil influence coming across against our marriages and families, and how to raise children that love you and glorify you and fulfill your purpose for their lives. But I just pray, Lord, right now, supernatural healing, inner healing for people who've just been hurt in their families and it's affecting them today in their parenting. But Lord, supernaturally give us the grace to learn and to change and to be the parents we need to be in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So good. Pastor Jimmy, thank you.
Good to see you guys. Love y'all very much.
Love you too.
So grateful for this. And I just want to say again, get the book, Fighting for the Soul of Your Child. You can get it right here at exomarriage.com or wherever books are sold, Amazon, all the places. And I'm telling you, you'll be so glad that you got this. And is it also an audiobook?
It will be.
We're making an audiobook
right now. It's a Kindle.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. So thank you all so much for joining us. We'll see you next time.